The study we want to take this morning is a continuation. It will be a Bible study format than a preaching. And we have been dwelling on the study of pastor epistles for a while. If you remember, how many of you remember that? I have not come up here in a long while. That is my choice in the sense I was offered enough opportunity to actually give Bible study or message, and for personal reasons I declined from it. And a brother who I also do some Bible classes for, some of India, and when I declined there, a brother who is much older than me kind of admonished me in many ways, saying that it is not a good thing. So I have decided to continue. But we are story, the background of what I have been trying to say for the past several. We studied 1 Timothy, covered it in our review in the past. Then later on, Radin and Thomas took the Titus study. And so this is the study on 2 Timothy, that specifically I was only focusing on chapter 1 and 2. And the rest of it is actually covered in the other areas, even though chapter 3 deals with the sins that will come in into the world in the last days. So, but if, I think we have enough understanding now, but it is important to me, important to us. It is important to the assembly. So if you will turn to the Bible on Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, sometimes I have noticed when I come up here. Today I still heard a lot of rustling of the Bible, but sometimes I come up here and I, on our breaking of bread time, I see many eyes staring at me rather than moving to the Bible. So it will be much more effective if we look in our Bibles and look at what is going on rather than what are the displays coming. I have all the verses coming up here. So I did not bring a Bible up here purposely because it's a heavy 5-pound Bible and it will only sit here. But I do appreciate that we need to look at the Bible, and it impresses much more into our hearts. When I say Bible, whatever you are using. So we have been studying the pastoral epistles, and it was year 65 or 66. Well, because of 2,000 years, give or take it a few years. And it was the end of almost the first generation. So for a review, for those who are new, I'm just going to give you just an idea of what was the reason for writing 2 Timothy. It also happens to be Paul's last message to the church. This also happens to be the last message to the church. So, and he was struggling to convey the elder of Ephesus and probably all the churches because of all the persecution that was going on. There was one reason many were not coming forward to take on the leadership of the church. The other one, especially in the case of Timothy, he probably was afraid. Paul was in the prison, as you know. He was going to be executed in the, if I recall right, chapter 4, verse 6, maybe, it says, I am being poured out like a drink offering. He's waiting to be executed. His blood is going to be shed. The drink offering reference is from the Leviticus chapter 16 or so, I think 15, where it's, you know, it's after the burnt offering and the grain offering, it is followed by a drink offering. And Paul is saying to himself, I have done faithful work, hardship, all this, all my life has been an offering to the Lord, and I'm waiting to be a drink offering. And that is, his blood will be shed by Nero, who is about to execute him. But he set off, and that is how we read the history. So he knows what is going to happen, and he wanted the church to be renewed. He wanted the church to be renewed. And we all have heard, and many times it is repeated from here too, and at least by few people, every generation there is struggle, there is trouble, because challenges come through the next generation coming up for other changes or difficulties, or in our case, may not be much of a heresy, but it was the heresy that was, if you look at Paul's writing from AD 56 on where it started till 66 before he died, Every church, you look at it, except probably maybe the writings of Ephesians and Colossians, every church it was written to, it was for reproof, because there was problem. There was big sin that's going on. So as he was concerned, he was trying to bring up Timothy, and he was kind of telling him, be renewed, be rekindled. Don't be sloppy. You know, you will have challenges, but be suffering. Come back and do the work of a minister. So the points, how many points were in chapter 2? If you remember that we have displayed that chart here several times. Pons Rajan says he knows it, but how many of you know? How many were there? Okay, it's coming up. So do not be ashamed, Timothy. He's trying to stimulate him in 1:8. The key verse here is chapter 2, verse 1, Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, saying, fan into flame. You see a little flicker behind it. You know, it's just it's there, just to get your interest going. But it is in our hearts, in our own minds, in the minister's mind, where there should be, the flame should be burning to renew, to edify, teach the church. So this is written, the pastor who is, or the teacher, or to the coming teachers of the generations to follow, to renew them. So then he says, follow the pattern. That's also very important. Very important. Because you cannot have our own. We cannot have our own patterns to be followed. We have covered this many times, so I'm going so fast. Then he says, whatever is guarded, deposit. That is the truth of the scripture, be guarded. And then he cites some examples in verse 15 through 18. All who deserted and turned away. Don't be a deserter. Come back and do the ministry that is needed. So that we covered that. So chapter 1 is the follow the pattern of sound doctrines. And that is also in 1 Timothy, it is the defending of the faith. Here it is, in your ministry, follow the patterns of sound doctrine. And chapter 2 is follow the patterns of sound disciplines. So that is a review. That is a review. Follow the patterns of sound discipline. These are the seven disciplines that Timothy is told to follow. One is, you know, it is to be a steward, a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, workman, vessel, and a servant. These symbolizes the disciplines that he is to follow as he is a minister, as he is a teacher of the church. And it can be applied to every individual who is here. Because we are entitled and entrusted with disciplines that we need in the places our Lord has placed us. Every individual in here listening to me today have that responsibility to be before the Lord faithful steward. So a teacher, I don't worry about, I will have so many screens here because it also reminds me and my mind to where I'm going. So, but what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, simply says, teach the next generation. The next one is a soldier, suffering as a good soldier, what his main pursuit was, to please the one who enlisted him. So that is also a symbol. His weapon is a sword, but the word of God, here it is for a minister as a sword, but is aim, his purpose is to please the one who enlisted him. That is the soldier. So then the athlete is disciplined. His rules, he had to play by the rules. When we are ministering, we cannot have our own rules. The Lord has established his rules. Follow the rules. We cannot interpret the Bible any which way we want. For our convenience, whenever you, in this very twice or three times in this very epistle, it is said, you know, don't quarrel, don't argue. You know, whenever somebody wants to have a little argument with you, and you say, this is what the scripture says, they say, that's what you believe. That's what you believe. But that is a baseless argument. That's a baseless argument. I believe this one. Well, there are certain areas which are gray that we can give that in. You know, but not in everything. There are foundational scriptural truth that is from the beginning till the end that we cannot give an inch. So, by the rules. Third is, it is a hardworking farmer. That is another picture. He sows the seeds and that should grow. Sowing the seed in the midst of the people is the responsibility of the ministers whom the Lord has appointed to be in the assembly. It is their duty. So, all things we saw, be a good teacher, no civilian entanglement, that meaning when you are an athlete, when you are a soldier, you will not go and entangle into anything else. You are dedicated to your commander and follow the rules and be hardworking. And there are so many things. This much we covered up to the whenever I covered in the past. So dedication, 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 playing by the rules, discipline, focus, purpose. It is all throughout on all four of them. Because that is four patterns we learned. So these are the four patterns we learned in the past. These are the three patterns we need to learn today, if I can finish it today. So, since I am told that there is no second meeting and I can have as much time as I can. So, but I will not hold you. As Louisville Small Groups will be so happy to serve you food today, but at the expense of goodbye. But anyway, workman, the vessel, and the steward. A servant, I should say. So in that, if you notice, the four patterns end at verse 6 and the next ends at, starts at 15. In between, there are 7 or 8 verses. And what is there? I'm so glad this morning. I'm so glad this morning. We focused on the Lamb. We were talking about, behold the Lamb. We were singing. And we actually started with, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. So in there, in verse 8, he says, remember Jesus Christ. In your ministry, in your front and in your back, it is tucked in the middle there saying, remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. When you take the eyes off Jesus Christ, your ministry will fail. Remember Jesus Christ. So quickly, I was kidding, I will not sit, make you sit here and be bored. So go fast. In between. So we have three more disciplines to review. So here is the verse 7 to 14. So may I reread it? The wording, the word of God is very important. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal joy. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. These verses seem to be tucked in there, not in connection, but the essence of what is said here is, except for verse 7, is remember Jesus Christ, who he is, and what you ought to do. Look at his example. He's even saying, I am bound for the sake of the gospel. And doesn't it immediately bring us back to the Lord? He was bound. So look at all what he's saying there is. He is faithful Lord, which is the ending of the verse there. But in between, a minister may have to go through suffering. May have to go through suffering. We are very empathetic with those who are suffering in Manipur and many places of the world for the sake of gospel. And we also, if we don't have suffering, that is great. But there are disciplines that will bring you into probably suffering as you go forward in many ways. So here, as he was saying to Timothy, the first four, seven verses or six verses, think over what I say. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding. That is like sometimes we tell our children, don't forget. I told you, don't forget. Don't do that. That is is even in a less emphatic than what is meant here is the utmost importance. Remember this. Remember this. I think over what I say. Keep reminding in your mind what I am trying to tell you, that a minister will have many sufferings that will come his way. A minister will have to carry through many disciplines in his life if you are called and if you proclaim yourselves as a minister of God, a child of God. Even we can down-translate that to any level you want it. Then you have certain disciplines that you have to go through. Think it over. And when you say, think it over, why should I do this? We say, you know, it's a reminder to give a serious consideration. Remember Jesus Christ? Remember Jesus Christ? Who was he? What did he do? How did he die? Who is he to you to know now? Who is he to you now? Remember. Remember Jesus Christ. That is why the Lord told us, remember, because we are people who often forget what the Lord has done for us in every day. And he said, at least as often as you gather together, remember him. Remember Jesus Christ. We covered that verse in 19. Do this in remembrance of me. But in Matthew 28, there is a verse. You know, it says, I am with you always. Remember that. I was admitted in a hospital 55 years ago, maybe. Yeah, 55 or 54 years ago. It's called the AB ward of the TMM hospital. That is most of you Carolites know. It's a brethren affiliate hospital. My situation was not very pleasant to the onlookers. There was people visiting, and one person gave me a little, Bible reminder, not a Bible reminder. What do you put in the Bible and what is it called? A bookmark. There you go. Okay. A bookmark. And it said just this verse. I am with you. Lo, it was in the King James Version. Lo, I am with you always. That's all it said. But you know how much that verse comforted me. That verse comforted me, even comforts me even now. Lo, I am with you always. But you see, that verse also scares me. It brings awe and fear into me because I am responsible, accountable before this Lord who is with me all the time. If you go to 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19. There are two verses there. We are the temple of God. The church is the temple of God in general perspective, and individuals are the temple of God. The Lord is in us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Should that bring a great comfort? Yes, indeed. But don't just be settled there. Don't just be settled there. We need to think who we are. If this morning, the great truth Arturo brought up in one sentence many times, I have not heard here, but we all know that when the Lord looks at us, he sees us through Jesus Christ. That is the wonderful truth. Because if we stand in our merit, we will not get anywhere. But we stand in his merit. But don't take that as an advantage to be living any which way we want. Your thought counts. My thought counts. So the Lord is his example in humility, his example in suffering, and his presence is with us in all circumstances. And he's telling to Timothy, the Lord is with you. And the John chapter 8:16 was also brought up this morning. I was so glad. And it says, when they were coming and Judas was kissing him, and they were looking at whom they should arrest, and they asked, you know, and Jesus volunteers and says, I am he. You know what happened? They fell down just at his words. Every one of them who came to arrest him fell down. And they still had the audacity to arrest. In one way, it's God's working that we could all be saved through the sacrifices of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I wonder at these words. When they saw, and they, when he said, I am, they fell down. He didn't do anything else. That is the power and the magnificence of our Lord Jesus Christ. He created this whole universe with the power of his word. And that I am is with us. Remember Jesus Christ. Just for your curiosity, this intriguing thought came into my mind as a fun. We think about this university, we can understand it to an extent. The creation, we can understand. Human beings, yeah, we can. We think we can understand, but we don't understand how it all works together. I mean, there are studies. But think about this. I have thought about this a long while and lost, but maybe some PhDs here can answer to that. But what is after? What is at the end? Have you ever thought about that? How the world is put together? Okay, 90 billion light years. What is after that? Is that a foolish thought? It occurs to me once in a while. What is after that? So space is purposely created by God, and we don't understand it. We don't understand it. Wonderful. This is he who is with us. I just wanted to bring up a thought of interest into your mind that when we think about God, this universe, don't think of it very lightly. He's awesome. If you wonder about that, start reading Revelation, several chapters. Even things that are said that humanly can be understood is beyond our understanding. So then this verse also was read. So looking unto Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. So he's asking for who endured the cross. And in verse 3, this is Hebrews 12, consider him who endured. There is glory, Timothy, in suffering. Because he endured and he was glorified. For every individual who is in this world, who is suffering for the sake of the Lord and for the purposes of the ministry, there is glory awaiting you. There is crown awaiting you. And he, Christ, is the example. Because consider him who endured the cross and endured suffering from the hands of the sinners, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. That is the example that we ought to follow. There will be strength in trusting him. Oh. So, the word of God is... the way for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. You know, it has been the efforts of this whole world, the satanic influence in this world from the beginning to chain Christianity. Kill everything, everybody they can. Kill all the ministers. But you know what happened? Here is a graph from the World Christian Trends. And from AD 33 to projected to 2100, which some of us may not see, there is projected to be almost 4 billion people. By that time, there should be 12 billion people. So, but right now, there are 3 billion at least declared Christians in this world. The Bible was trying to be, you know, destroyed. Somebody, a philosopher, I don't recall his name, but he said, in 100 years, there will be no Bible. And Bible is now printed in more languages. Bible is now spread through many languages, and you know, bribe and many means. Now we have several versions of the same Bible in our own devices. So the word of God is not bound. We may get bound. The word of God and spread of gospel will never be bound because it is the purpose of our Lord to declare his word until the last elect is chosen, that the word of God will keep on going through many means. If we are not willing, somebody else will be brought to do that. You know, this is the example in the AD, earlier years. You know, look at that. You know, they were actually sitting in Jerusalem in the first 12 years or so, and there was persecution, and they got distributed throughout many places, as he said, go to Judea and the other parts of the world. And the word of God, Acts 6:12 says, it multiplied greatly. Then in Acts 11, the next report, it says, and in great number believed and turned to God. And the next report in 12:24 says, but the word of God increased and multiplied. And in Acts 19:20, it says, it's continued to increase and prevail mightily. The word of God is not bound. No one in this earth can bind the spread of Christianity as if the Lord wills it to happen that way. Meaning, it will continue on until the last one of the elect. Because that's why Paul said, I suffer for the sake of the elect. We have a little problem with the elect there, but don't worry about that problem. But our job is to spread the gospel. The Lord's job is to call those whom he wants to call. So word of God will not be bound. I endure everything for the sake of the elect. Everything. And this is a trustworthy saying, and that is a saying that was believed to be a saying in the Old Testament times. I mean, in the early Christian times, that, you know, and somebody, probably a poem or a little phrase that they sang. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. Believers, death to self and even to martyrdom. If we endure, we will also reign with him. We already covered that. If I deny him, unbelief lead to rejection and eternal rejection of eternal life. So if we deny him, he remains faithful because he's going to punish those who do not believe in him. So just of that four lines are that we do not give up. God is faithful. We continue to trust in him. So we get into the three things I wanted to get into today. And I think we have a few more minutes and we'll end this quickly because I don't want to drag this on. So the workmen, remind them that these things, charge them before God not to quarrel about words. Do the best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of God. But avoid irreverent babble or arguments, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Or now some new translations are cancer, but gangrene used to be a disease that cannot be contained and it eats flesh. Their talk will spread like gangrene among the Merhanis and Phaetis, who have served from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place. So misinformation was even from the beginning. They are upsetting the faith of some, probably not very founded, but God's firm foundation stands bearing the seal. The Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. This is a key of all the things that we have been looking at. A workman who is approved by the Lord. A teacher needs to know what he needs to teach. Then only he can actually teach. Otherwise, his teaching will be in vain. Also, he needs to know what to teach and what not to teach. So the word here is approved, and rightly, worker need not be ashamed, rightly handling the word of God or properly handling the word of God. In the NASB, it is accurately, In the NIV, it is correctly. In the KJV, it's rightly as it is rightly here. But the just or the essence of this handling of the word of truth is that a minister, a worker in the field of souls, need to study. He needs to present himself approved. Do we resemble this word somewhere else? Romans chapter 12. Present ourselves a living sacrifice. Present yourselves an approved worker. It takes that weight. Present yourself to God. So it is not a simple, easy matter that we think in teaching the assembly. It is a matter of weight, of importance, because it affects everyone. To bringing everyone to maturity. It affects everyone. We can have nice stories. I mean, in the last days, their ears will be itching to hear, you know, what is pleasing to them in the very epistles we read. But truth need to be told. And it is the word that we need to take a little more seriousness into it. You know, the responsibilities an approved worker, you know, are many. I just listed a few. You know, I will go to number three there. They are at their best at all times to be approved by God. They have to pursue God's word, practice God's word, and preach God's word. Follow Paul's example. They have to avoid unnecessary arguments. And there is, don't misunderstand this verse. They have to, it is not that the minister or the leaders or the elders of the church cannot reprove somebody. It is their job. But unnecessary arguments should be avoided. Their job, they have, and the assembly's responsibility to yield to the teaching. And if you find error in the teaching, two things you can do, and I have said this even before. It is to either bring it up with them in private, or we have other choices. But it is not to amass people together and bicker together and turn people against them. Because God has given them, whether they are doing their part is their responsibility. It is an accountability between a vertical accountability, and the elders have a horizontal accountability. And that needs to be done. There are so many things that is in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, I believe, is mentioned the responsibilities of the elders. But unnecessary arguments, don't bring it up. Don't bring it up, you know. And they are not supposed to be argumentative, because it spreads only the sickness of the mind. But they have a responsibility, which is the last line there. They must teach with exactness. They must know the word, and they must teach it. They must teach it. So those of you who are seeking to be becoming or taking, it is a good thing for responsibilities. But mind you, there's a great responsibility that is laid on you that you must fulfill also. See, the exactness is a rightly plumbing. This instrument is no more. But that used to be, but from the wall, to build up a wall, in the old days, the mason used to hang a little plump, not plump, but plump, instrument on a string, and it told him whether the wall is coming up straight or not. And that is the word used there, correctly, exactly, to cut it straight. As a tailor would do, or wherever it is, or to plow correctly in a straight line, to plow in a straight line. So that's what it means. But the word of God's firm foundation stands. You know, these two quotes there, the Lord knows whose they are, yes, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity are from number 16, the infamous chapter where Korah, the great grandson of Levi, put a rebellion with 50 princesses, as they are called in the NJ, King James Version, or even NASB. 50 princesses and rebelled against Moses. And there it is said, you know, and you know what happened. We all know what happened. When dissension and unholy acts were, unapproved acts were brought into the assembly then of Israel, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them. So be very careful when we bring in dissension. And because, you know, brethren assemblies are infamous for such things. So I just want to say that, not that we have it here, but it, as ministering today, it is my responsibility to say it to us. And so be careful. You know, they were princes. 250 of them, but the Lord was not pleased. So I will leave chapter 16 to be read by you. Give me 5 minutes. The pizza is just coming. So give me 5 minutes and I'll finish the whole thing and then we'll be over. So in great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, honorable and some for dishonorable. This does not mean there are different kinds of vessels that are used for, you know, in honor and dishonor who are ministering. It actually, what it means there, if I could, I mean, there are different opinions, but the best I could think of was there are those who minister falsely and there are those who minister truly. Because this is written to the ministers or those who minister, those who do the work of the Lord, you know, we cannot have that the other argument. The argument here is either you are a true prophet of God or you are a false prophet. You are a true minister of God or you are a false prophet. And he is asking them to be honorable vessels before the Lord. But you are a vessel. You need to be available. You need to be empty, to be filled by the Lord. An honorable vessel. Make ourselves an honorable vessel. A vessel that will be useful to the Lord. I need to move really fast. But the requirements of honorable, which was in the previous verses, are first you need to be holy. Second, you need to be useful. Third, you need to be ready. Fourth, it was the qualities or the fruit of the Spirit need to be in you. And you need to have a pure heart, a heart that seeks only Lord's word and only that. So this chapter is packed with so much that we could go on for weeks. So then it says, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. I've already covered that. And the Lord's servant, that's the other. Seventh one, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. A Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. Does that mean a Lord's servant should not say what is right and wrong? You know, he needs to be kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. Patiently enduring evil. Correcting his opponents. Okay. So correctness, correcting is fine. Correcting is good. Correcting with gentleness. Correcting with gentleness. We don't have time to go through the rest of the word I want to say, but here we go. The word means, you know, everywhere you see greats of the scripture, they call themselves a servant. Actually, the word is a slave. And we don't use that in modern translations because it is known to be mean something else. But exactly what it says in the scripture, and the Greek word means slave. Means you don't have your own will. Moses called him all throughout in the five books, slave. Actually, four books. And Paul and others all throughout referred to himself as a slave. A slave never has his own say. His time, his action, his will, everything is committed to the master. He doesn't have his own will. Sometimes some of us become a little crafty in what we need to do. You don't have a say. That's a little hard to take. you don't have a say. So he or she works all life to please the master, patiently, gently, kindly, avoiding quarrels and suffering evil. So in summary, brothers and sisters, pay attention. In all that you do, follow the pattern of the scripture. That can be applied universally. Follow the pattern of the scripture. And these are the patterns given. You can review them one more time. Be teaching or be learning. Be willing to suffer. Be disciplined. Be hardworking. Be exact to the scripture. Be holy. Honorable vessel. Be a servant. Fan what is in you in flame. Remember Jesus Christ. In all through this, remember Jesus Christ. How do we do if we take it ourselves into that thinking? How do we do? How are we doing? You minister, I mean, I am so encouraged by our church that everybody is so much volunteering and doing so much work and so willing, so cooperating. But have you weighed how you do? Some of you are Sunday school teachers. Maybe let me pick on them because my wife is part of it too. Have you thought that this ministry is one of the most important ministry that is in the chapel? Because that is where most of the people normally come to know the truth of the Bible and come to the Lord. You know, years ago, probably 30 years ago, we started something called Family Fellowship in Houston. And one of the ideas we and the other brother who was with me was to bring that younger generation together in the teaching. And at that time, there was so much resistance to that because we didn't get blessed by all the assemblies. You know, it's awkward, isn't it? But I told them, we have now 100 young teenagers in these assemblies here, and we need to bring them up. You know what is so tragic? Not too many are in with the assemblies. May that not happen to our children. Bring them up. So when you teach, when you preach, when you minister, you are not taking a light job. You have no will of your own. You are accountable to the master in multiple ways. You may have suffering. You may have to get disciplined. And may the Lord lead you. If this message or the past were of any use, to recommit ourselves. For the ministry. Shall we? Gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words, unchanging, everlasting. And on the foundation of it, we all stand. Give us encouragement in our hearts, encourage in our souls to follow the truth. We pray for all who are in this assembly. Pray for the enlightenment of the word into each one of our hearts. Teach us, O Lord. Change us, mold us, make us useful vessels. May we all remember we serve you. Give us the grace to be gentle, not quarrelsome, to be patient, to be committed in unity as one organ as we bring the gospel to the inside and outside. We pray for those who are in need, in sickness, especially pray for Finney and those who are traveling and ministries that are happening in Korea and other places. Give us your blessings until we meet again. And Father, we thank you for the food that is deserved, and we ask that you bless us. Lucas 9:5.